News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Friday afternoon, 2:22 p.m., we got a great show for you. Copper, what'd you think about that with the two stories, the two diverging paths, but they almost like maybe could have intersected for all we know?
Oh, yeah, I'm not so sure. You got to tell me about more about Ray Keitel.
Ray Keitel, I mean, so Ray was this, I mean, he was this, he was kind of, you know, kind of this big, I mean, he was, I don't know how to say this, he was larger than life. His voice was the kind you could hear it across the room and just knew that it was him. And he was always, I don't know, he was always into something. But I tell you where I met him, this was funny. We laugh about this at my house still to this day. So a group of seniors from the church, and he qualified, he was in the seniors, so he was... they were taking a group of seniors down to Mobile to go to Bellingrath Gardens, right? Beautiful place. And also just to see stuff, you know. And Charlene and I had lived in Mobile to that point sometime recently before that. And so they asked me, would I go down there as, you know, sort of a personal tour guide? And I was like, wow, okay, cool. So I had like a bus full of my own, like, batch of grandparents. I was everybody's grandson for about 4 days. And so we're doing this stuff, right? And we're seeing things like Bellingrath Gardens and, you know, and just I'm making sure they know where the best restaurants are and whatever else. And then a couple of the ladies decided they got the notion that they wanted to all go see a play. Well, I had lived in Mobile for like 7 years and I wasn't a big, you know, patron of the arts back then, but I had no idea what this playhouse was they were talking about. It was called the Old Firehouse, and it was in the middle of old downtown Mobile, which is kind of like old downtown New Orleans, you know, very small streets and that kind of New Orleans style architecture. Anyway, so I said, well, y'all, I mean, it's not on the agenda, but I mean, if you want me to, oh, we take care of it, Phil. Sure. Okay, fine. So they arranged. Apparently the theater group was very excited. I'm thinking now they'd probably never had a busload of anybody show up. This was, I cannot believe that bus driver got those buses down the little alleys that it took to get to Old Firehouse number 1 in downtown Mobile. But we get there, and I'm thinking, I've never seen this place. It feels sketchy. We're like in the middle of a dark back alley, it feels like. And so, you know, I said, well, let me go check it out, y'all, before we go in. And what I didn't realize was Ray Keitel was walking behind me. This is the first time I really had a chance to spend time around him. And we get to the door and walk in, and there's a dude literally standing there wearing a beret and a cape. And he, like, throws the cape open. He goes, welcome. We are so pleased that you're with us. And I thought, oh, boy. And I look inside, and it's like a concrete floor with about 20 folding metal chairs in the middle of a room in a circle. I thought, what is this? Turns out it's just like a little group that does this kind of on their own, and it's theater in the round, and they act out whatever they've decided to work on for you. It sort of felt like we'd stumbled across a group of LARPers or something in the park, you know? And so I said, huh. I said, excuse me, I'm going to go back to the bus and talk to the group. Well, I get back there and I step up on the bus, and I'm trying to be real diplomatic, right? And I pick up the microphone. And I said, "Hey, folks, listen. So I was looking, so you know, I'm not sure it's what you're expecting." And Ray says, "Phil, let me have that microphone." And I said, "Yes, sir." And I hand him the mic. He goes, "Friends, I believe we should go ahead and move along. I fear these Bohemians may perform in the nude." And the whole bus just like their mouth hanging open. The bus door closed, and we drove away, and the theater group standing on the curb staring at us like they could not imagine what was happening. And anyway, to this day, if something's going on that we're not sure how to make something of it, somebody in my family may say, I fear these Bohemians may perform in the nude. But yeah, that's my Ray Keitel story.
That's great. There you go.
That was classic Ray Keitel. Yeah, he passed away, I believe, in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. He was, gosh, I'd forgotten how old he was, but I think he was pushing 90, when he passed away. But, anyway, great man, and very cool. I don't think I even know to the extent that, he may have pioneered so many things that we consider, you know, just a part of our everyday life today. But he was humble as he could be, humble as he could be. Well, all right. Hey, listen, we got plenty on tap for you. We come back from this, I'm going to be talking about state politics. I'm going to spend some time on Alabama for a minute because here's some things that might impact you, might impact your wallet, all right? You remember that our state legislature is down there in Montgomery right now, and they are not performing in the nude. They are down there in a special session that was dropped in by the governor in the midst of the regular session. So they're in a special session, which means they have a singular focus, or at least they have a focus that is limited to what she put in the proclamation. All that to say, the regular session comes to a grinding halt. They go into special session, meaning they're allowed to only focus on certain things unless there's like an overwhelming vote of the body to do so. And so they are now in the middle of spending money. And so Alabama, like every other state, experience windfall money that came from the federal government. Keep in mind that's your tax dollars. Or I say it's your tax dollars. Keep in mind it was printed on presses that were bought with your tax dollars. How about that? And all that money in Alabama land right now is currently at $772 million in unappropriated funds. They've got to assign it. And so they came up with a shopping list. And the governor decided to call them into special session, and they're spending it. The interesting dynamic here and what is not being considered is how many other states are using that money to provide tax cuts for their citizens. Yeah. And you're not hearing about that in Alabama, and it's frustrating. Now, I know what they're going to say, and they're already saying it, by the way. They're saying these are one-time funds. They want to invest them in things that will have sustaining impact. Okay, I don't dispute that. I don't have real heartburn with a lot of what's on their spending list. Except for the fact that what I don't see on the list is anything that brings relief to the average citizen today. I don't see anything in there about how, hey, we've got so much of your money that we're going to give some back. Because the question needs to be asked, when is enough enough? When does government have enough of your tax dollars? At what point should that trigger a sense of, let's give some back to the people because we took more than we needed? Well, when government is in surplus, it means two things. One, they did a pretty good job of creating the systems. And number two, that they've got more than they needed and they should give some back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. More of that, we get right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the, like I always call it, the overly broad range. I mean, like AM, FM capability with WVNN is pretty strong. It's one of the strongest in the area. And listen, if you're still driving outside of that range, that means you're pretty much outside of North Alabama, South Tennessee. But it don't matter. All right? Any number of people who listen to the show, listen to it by going online. They go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. All you got to do is click on Listen Live, and the show is with you. I've got tons of folks that listen way outside of the AM/FM capabilities. They stream it live online. You can get it that way at work. You can get it that way on your phone while you're driving. You can get it that way when you're on vacation. That's why we have listeners in multiple states, people that call in from out of state for that matter. Check it out, rightsideradio.org. All kinds of information on there, not the least of which is you can listen live to the show by streaming it online from the website. Okay, so the first part of the Triple Dipper today, Alabama tax cuts. Are we going to get any? I don't know. Now, I will tell you this, the Alabama Policy Institute, where I am also affiliated, we are keen to see some tax cuts. And we came out with a platform not long ago that calls for tax cuts. And by the way, it's not a reckless call. It's not like a, you've got too much money, just give us some. It's not like a, we would have called for this anytime. During the recession, there was no, true call for tax cuts. While I was in the legislature, we hardly ever had a surplus. This year, they are so flush with cash, literally, that they're putting in place record budgets and having to have a special session to spend more money. And are you hearing anything about a tax cut? Well, why not? story on CNN right here I'm looking at. This came out, by the way, this is a CNN story from July of last year. July of last year. Now, the legislature was not in session, but they had plenty of time since last year to assess their position. CNN reporting in July of last year, headline, states are so flush with funds, many are cutting taxes. Goes on to say nine states have passed legislation by then, by July of last year. Nine states have passed legislation to reduce individual or corporate income tax rates that is awaiting governor's signatures or has been enacted. That's incredible. And that, by the way, is last year. Did anybody cut your taxes? No. So, for instance, it goes on to talk about in Ohio, Republican Governor Mike DeWine signed a two-year budget bill that reduced income taxes and boosted the bottom bracket so that more low-income earners would be exempted. Yeah. It also cut a top bracket for the upper level. So it was a, it made sure they took care of lower and upper level income tax cuts. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt, back then a Republican, had signed legislation that it cut the individual income tax rates by a quarter percentage. That reduced the top rate from 5 down to 4.75. That's the sixth lowest among states that levied income taxes. All right, how about this? Idaho's Republican Governor Brad Little. He was cutting taxes as well and signed a tax bill that gave one-time income tax rebates to residents, providing a minimum payment of $50 per taxpayer and dependent upon 9% of the tax amount report. Anyway, bottom line is he cut taxes. I won't try to go into all the details. It went on to have Washington. It went on to have Arizona. Now, the Treasury Department got involved because the Treasury Department was saying to some of these states, hey, you got those COVID relief funds. Hey, you can't use those to cut taxes. That's not what the liberal Biden administration wanted you to do. Well, I got news. Yes, they can. I'll tell you about that in a second. Follow-up from that article in July is an article just this past December from The Hill. TheHill.com, similar title. Flush with cash, states planning big cuts to taxes. Wow. Here's the thing. That was a July article from CNN. Now we're in a December article. So the trend is continuing. It wasn't like that was a flash in the pan back last July. In December, they were still having the same type headline, flush with cash, states planning big cuts to taxes. And it goes on to say in this one, in this article from The Hill, a dozen states by then had enacted tax cuts. And that all these surpluses were spurring what it called significant tax cuts and talk of others across both blue and red states, and legislators and governors all calling for plans to lower rates and cut bills. Are you hearing about it in Alabama? Was that in the governor's state of the state address? No, it was not. Was that in the legislature's agenda for this coming session or the session they're in? No, it was not. Was there anything in that in the discussion is having the special session they're in right now to cut your taxes? No, it was not. Now the question became, all right, listen, we're flush with cash in part because of all the money that flowed in from the federal government in the form of COVID relief. Can we use that? Can we use that to cut taxes and then replace the revenue with federal funds? Meaning that, hey, we don't have to experience a net loss to the state. We can just go ahead and do this thing like cut the grocery tax or do a sales tax holiday or a gas tax holiday. Well, at first, Treasury was saying no. Guess who filed suit? Alabama. November of this past year, month and a half ago. Oh, you're right at 2 months ago, actually, now. A federal judge has blocked the U.S. Treasury from enforcing a provision of the American Rescue Plan Act. By the way, that's the same act that gave the money that they are in special session today to determine how to spend it. U.S. District Judge L. Scott Kugler ruled Monday in Alabama that Congress exceeded its power in putting in the so-called tax mandate on states. He entered a final judgment in favor of the 13 states that had filed a lawsuit and instructed the Treasury Department not to enforce the provision. What does this mean? The provision prevented the states from using ARPA funds, the relief funds for COVID, to provide tax relief. Alabama was the lead state in a 13-state lawsuit. The judge was in the federal district court in Alabama who said, nope, you can do this. is Alabama now going to follow suit and give us tax breaks? I'm not hearing about any. Are you? No. Well, here's one that is popping up. All right. Brand new. Just coming out. You hear me talk about the grocery tax off and on. Get this and just wrap your head around this one for a second. When you go buy groceries, and by the way, every single person, every income level, all of us have to buy groceries. The poorest among us have to buy milk and bread. And when they go and buy milk and bread in Alabama, you pay the usual 4 cents on the dollar is state tax. Did you know Alabama is one of only 12 states in the entire nation that taxes groceries at all? And then when you consider the fact that, okay, the highest sales tax rate you can have in Alabama is 4 cents, we're one of only 7 states that taxes groceries at the highest level we have available. Why is that? Why do we do that? I'll tell you why. It's because of the teachers' union. The teachers' union years ago made sure that sales taxes, of which grocery tax is one, sales taxes go to the education budget only. State Representative Mike Holmes has just dropped in a bill. This is reported as of 2 days ago. Has just dropped in a bill to repeal the grocery tax in Alabama. Mike Holmes, by the way, I know Mike Holmes, good dude, Republican from Wetumpka. He's solid. He's very conservative. He's not running for re-election, which is sad because he's been down there for a while holding the fort as one of the most conservative members of the body. And he told the 1819 News reporters that he's introducing that bill that will repeal the 4% tax on groceries. And he says he has 12 co-sponsors already at the time he wrote this. I saw a link. I need to go check and see if he got more co-sponsors before he dropped it in. It's a $600 million hit to the state if we do away with it. I don't think it's $600 million. When I was in, I had it checked out. It was $365 million, so maybe it's gone up. Senator Orr from Decatur and I were talking not long ago. He thought it was more like $430 million. Whatever. Holmes says his legislation does not offset by raising taxes elsewhere. It just eliminates it. Now, it doesn't do away with local. We're not trying to tell the local county and city governments that we're going to take away their funds. That's called an unfunded mandate. But the state can do away with its funds. And so right now, just need to know, the Alabama Policy Institute, as of today, is naming this bill by Representative Mike Holmes as one of what we call our key votes to watch for the legislative session. Will the legislature do anything to lower our taxes in any way? And if they do, will they consider the grocery tax? Because if you do that, you've just cut taxes for everybody. Not just one corporation, not just one income bracket, not just one, category of people. Everybody. It needs to happen. Needs to happen. Keep an eye on that one, folks. More on this, because I got other states. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. I'm going to go ahead and continue this, all right? I've got a stack right here. I've got Florida. I've got Iowa. I've got Idaho. I've got, what else? Missouri. All cutting taxes. Tell you about those when we get back. Top of the hour, Mike Durant calling in to talk to him some about Ukraine and what's happening with our foreign policy and military policy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hang in there. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN, and this is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, and we are glad you are part of our audience because y'all are the reason why this show is met with any success at all. We have an amazing audience full of people we call Right Side Ruffians, and we appreciate you more than you could possibly know. I got a call on line one. Let me just grab it real quick, Copper. Let's go ahead and get Rick from Huntsville. Hey, Rick, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Phil. Hey. Talking about the eliminating the grocery tax,
yeah.
To me, you're going to just complicate everything because, okay, if somebody goes to Walmart buying groceries and they buy a cooked chicken, is that considered groceries? you get into all these different things, and I think the legislature would be a whole lot better off biting the bullet and going into the fair tax. So get rid of the income tax and...
Yeah, I don't argue the possibility of a fair tax. In fact, Missouri's governor is proposing a fair tax right now. I think they're cutting everything down to 4% fair across the board, they say. But, you know, with regards to just a grocery tax, and I don't dispute that, by the way, Rick, you may be right. There may be a broader plan that could affect things. But right now you have to ask yourself, why is Alabama one of the only states that taxes groceries anyway? And then on top of that, it's not hard to adjust. Whatever you're charging at the grocery store sales tax now, change it. I mean, there's a way to skin that cat. I'm just telling you right now, it can be done because every other state's done it.
All of a sudden, you just keep it. To me, it's a more complicated system, and I think you ought to get Chuck Bailey on to talk about the fair tax, and because to me, that's what I first heard about it made the most sense to me for it's a system of taxation.
Okay, because but you're talking about personal income tax. You're talking about personal income tax as opposed to, I'm on one niche right now, though, Rick. I'm talking about this bill, Representative Mike Holmes, do away. If we're not going to do away with state income tax or put in place a level fair tax, then there are other things we can amend. And one of the ones to watch right now is this bill, change the grocery tax. Yeah, I think that's still a reasonable thing to do.
If we have such a surplus now would be the time to go ahead and get something like the fair tax going, where you know we can kill a lot of birds with one stone.
Okay, but you're not hearing me. I'm saying we're talking apples and oranges right now. I mean, there's two different things here. One is one bill to do one thing. You're talking about a broad change, a sweeping change to the overall tax system, which I would love to see, but I think you're talking about a far bigger animal than just doing away with this one thing.
Well, but just like everything government does, it's piecemeal. We're going to do something to satisfy this group or that group in order to buy more votes.
Well, that's
my whole complaint.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point, and I don't discount that entirely. But I'll say this: whose select vote are you trying to buy if you repeal the grocery tax, which every single citizen in the state is going to benefit from, both Democrat and Republican? You're not selecting out any one particular group. You're not giving just a subsidy to one special interest. You're not looking at a way to carve out a certain corporation. You're not looking at certain income tax brackets. You're just saying, hey, y'all, everybody in Alabama, even those who visit the state, we're not charging for groceries anymore, just like they don't do next door to us in the other states. So, hey, Rick, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. But I think that we are talking about two different things. Listen, so what's happening in other places? In the moments I have left, let me just tell you this. In May of last year, Governor Ron DeSantis was already signing, enacting, if you will, a Florida tax cut package. He did. And $168 million in savings for the people of the state of Florida. It dealt with things like, sales tax holidays. He was trying to avoid things, just doing like simple things like sales tax holidays. He was committed to reducing the overall tax burden, he said. And it provided things like relief for families purchasing supplies for the new school year and other stuff like that. The bottom line is this. It was a complete tax cut package that they were looking at. However, it went on from there. That was in May of last year, December. Bam. Fast forward. December, just about December 10th. So we're right at, a month and a week and a half. The tax break on gas is now being proposed. So Governor DeSantis came back with a $1 billion gas tax holiday. He's saying it still requires approval from the legislature, but he pitched this $1.1 billion in tax breaks. Among such things would be a major cut on gasoline taxes, back-to-school items, storm supplies, that kind of thing. The gasoline's the one that caught everybody's attention because, like food, everybody buys gas. All right, he's looking at a 25-cent a gallon break. Golly, what are their taxes down there? A 25-cent a gallon break on gas taxes. And he said that they would use their $1 billion in federal stimulus money to make up for it. That's what I was just talking about. There are legislatures down there right now trying to spend more money on hospitals, unemployment compensation funds, and broadband, all of which are worthy projects. But how many of you are going to feel that tomorrow? The answer is very few. How about Iowa? December 13th, Iowa. has got a group of legislators right now banding together trying to eliminate their state income tax. So there's one going back to Rick's point that there are ways to cut taxes. In this case, as opposed to a fair tax, how about Iowa looking just to eliminate their state income tax? And then, by the way, that was in December of 2021. In January of 2022, that be now, storyline yesterday, Wall Street Journal, Iowa again, the Iowa governor is joining in the call for income tax changes, and she's going to a flat tax. So I said Missouri a while ago, Rick, it was actually Iowa. So Iowa's looking for some major taxes. They're looking for a flat tax or a fair tax there in Iowa. And then you've got Missouri. Missouri, with their coffers full of pandemic relief funds, says St. Louis Public Radio. Governor Mike Parson pledging more than $2.1 billion in tax cuts and others. And then you've got, lastly, Idaho. U.S. News is reporting as of 2 days ago that a panel of lawmakers in Idaho are approving the state's largest ever tax relief package, voting to send the $600 million tax measure to the full House. Wow. It says that every Idahoan benefits from this bill. The bill, blessed by the House Revenue and Taxation Committee, includes $350 million in rebates for 2020 income tax filers and $250 million in ongoing tax cuts for people and businesses. Folks, I'm just telling you, all that to say, every bit of that to say, as our legislature in Montgomery, our Alabama House and Senate, is in current special session right now to appropriate funds from federal relief dollars and to deal with surplus budgets like nothing we've ever seen in the state of Alabama. And I mean that, nothing we've ever seen. We have never been this flush with cash. You're not hearing hardly a thing about the idea of cutting taxes and sending some back to the people. That's got to change. That mindset has to change, because that's what it is. It's a mindset. When you have surpluses, it's time to give something back. All right, folks, listen, Mike Durant calling in here momentarily. We'll be right back after the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.